The special day we celebrate today in honor of mothers is, of course, not a liturgical day, but it's very fitting that we spend one day each year in the month of May, the month of our Blessed Mother, to honor our mother. The world, even though it still celebrates Mother's Day, the world has lost sight of what it even means to be a mother, what that vocation of motherhood means. And so, unlike a century ago when mothers were throughout the world dedicated entirely to the raising of their children and threw their whole heart into it, today, it's almost universal that mothers try to balance working a career and raising the children, as if raising children was just something that they did on the side. But a Catholic knows that motherhood is a vocation that God has established, one that comes with certain duties and to which one dedicates one's whole life. St. Anthony Claret, in his book of advice to mothers on raising their children, he points out that the very word matrimony, when we say someone enters matrimony, comes from the two Latin words matris munus, which means the obligation of a mother. Because, he says, it is through matrimony that a mother accepts this obligation toward her children of teaching them, raising them, getting them to heaven. I've found the easiest way to convey what we have lost in the world today in our understanding of motherhood, and on the other hand, to convey what motherhood really is to compare it to the vocation of a priest, the priesthood. We would be shocked, scandalized, if a priest were to be a priest on Sunday to hear confessions and preach and say Mass, and then Monday through Friday to work at a career as a plumber or an electrician or anything else. And why? Because we understand that the priesthood is a vocation by which the priest gives up many other things he could have done, he could have spent his life doing, and he chooses instead to dedicate his whole life to this one vocation of saving souls as a priest. And this is the way God intended it to be for mothers, to throw their whole heart and soul into raising children for heaven. And so God made it that the mother has the special ability to give the children their early training, a position that nothing can replace. And we might say, well, but most women get married and become mothers. Can you really say that's a free choice, like a priest who, a young man who chooses the priesthood and voluntarily gives up a career? Or rather, God chooses the young man for the priesthood. Well, that's true, but it is God himself that willed it, that he willed this vocation for women, so much that Pope Pius XII said, God created all women with the special characteristics of to be a mother. He said all women are called by their very nature to be mothers, and that if not in the physical sense of bringing children into this world, that still they are mothers in a spiritual sense like we see in the good sisters who teach in the school. And Pius XII says, God made the entire characteristic makeup of woman in such a way as to fit her for fulfilling this vocation. And that's why nothing can replace the mother, because God made it that way. And yes, this vocation is a vocation of many sacrifices, just as the priesthood is. But when a woman chooses this vocation and becomes a mother, she willingly, knowing of these sacrifices, she willingly accepts them because of that great love she has of wanting to raise children who will love God and get to heaven. St. Thérèse of Lisieux quoted in one of her letters the saying from a conference to mothers given by a French bishop in the 1800s, Bishop Dupanloup. And St. Thérèse quoted this bishop as saying, "The heart of a mother is God's masterpiece." And some years ago, I looked up that conference, and it was such a good portrayal of what it means to be a mother, what the love and sacrifice that a mother makes, that I translated it at the time into English for my mother for Mother's Day. And I wanted to share with you a little bit of that. Certainly not the whole thing, but you'll get an idea. He said, "I wish to speak to you now of the heart of a mother. I'm not afraid to say the heart of a mother is God's masterpiece. He has put in it an incredible power to love. How can you represent this maternal love, its intensity, its strength, its inexhaustible devotion? Suffice it to say that when God wished us to understand his love for us, he would not find a better means than to compare it to the love of a mother for her child. As a mother caresses and comforts her child," he says, "so shall I comfort you. I shall be to you as a mother nursing her child and carrying him upon her knees." God delights to give a detailed description of the wonders and tenderness of a mother's love, and by this comparison he gives us a glimpse of the wonders and tenderness of his own love for men. I do not think a mother's love has ever been made more noble, more elevated, or more divine than by such words. There is in the love of a mother a divine characteristic which I cannot make you admire sufficiently. This love is not only the most tender and strongest of all loves, but it has another unique quality. It is a selfless love which knows how to suffer, a love of sacrifice. No, there is no creature on earth destined to suffer more than a mother. This is what gives this love its greatness and nobility. The love of a mother from beginning to end is a sacrifice. It is not without sweetness, otherwise our poor nature would succumb. But it is always a sacrifice. The love of a mother is therefore love unto sacrifice, and I am glad to say so here, in front of your young daughters, who need to know it. Any mother who does not understand that sacrifice will be the foundation of her life understands nothing either of the reality of her life or of God's plan for her. The first of all these sacrifices is very great, those 9 months of waiting, accompanied by languor, weariness, suffering, and moral and physical fatigue of every kind. Then comes the severe and pitiless fulfillment of those words, "Thou shalt bring forth children in pain," and sometimes even unto death. Then you have to feed the child at the cost of all rest, all sleep, all pleasure. No doubt you find a certain sweetness in this. No doubt it is noble and divine. You cherish and protect the life that you have given. This is to serve God, this is to enter into the views of his providence, but in the end, the sacrifice is still there. Your children never quite understand what pains the first 3 years of life cost you. And then, may they forgive me for saying it, they are so ungrateful. Filial piety is always more ungrateful than we may suspect and comprehend. There is never a sufficient return for the infinite care, the unspeakable tenderness of a mother. Yes, during those first years of childhood, what cares, what worries there are, they are infinite, but I do not need to tell you. You know all this far better than I. And then he goes on to speak of the later stages of childhood and to enumerate the sacrifices of the mother in each of them, up to the final sacrifice when her children leave home and enter the vocation that God has called them to. And then he says, maternal love is therefore a sacrifice, and this is what gives it a grandeur which nothing can equal. Thus, to any woman who becomes a mother, we can truly repeat the words of the holy and aged Simeon to the mother of the man God, thine own soul a sword shall pierce. But I repeat, this is precisely what forms your nobility, your dignity, your greatness. It aids you powerfully in your determination to sanctify yourself, to live up to your vocation. Love is the great power of the soul. Indeed, love decides all. Well then, there are treasures in your motherly hearts, but what will you do? What have you done? You must use them, not only to live up to all your responsibilities, all the devotion imposed upon you in your capacity as mothers, but also to sanctify them by a higher supernatural love, by the great love for God. You must give all to him that he may make these treasures of your heart tenderer, purer, and stronger, and pour them out again in endless streams upon those whom you love. May you have the spirit of sacrifice. May it be the soul of your life, the inspiration of all you must do for your children. Sacrifice yourselves, devote yourselves, immolate yourselves. But remember to draw from the heart of God as from the source, the strength to sacrifice yourselves thus, always, without ever failing. And so this is what a mother is. A mother gives herself entirely to her children, to her husband. Her whole care is her family. And it costs a lot, just as the priesthood costs many sacrifices. But what a great vocation you mothers have. I wrote this for my mother, probably, or translated for her some 7 or so years before she died. And when she passed away a few years ago, it meant even more to me where Bishop Dupanloh speaks of the ingratitude of children, how we don't appreciate what our mothers did for us. The first thing that came to mind when my mother, when I got word that she died, was everything she ever did for us came to mind. Many sacrifices, things that we never thanked her for, things we just took it for granted that she did for us. And suddenly all these things were coming to mind, and it really hit me for each of those things, what it cost her to do that, what she gave up for our sake. So, honor your mothers today. Thank them. Love them. Pray for them, whether they're living or deceased. And mothers, don't let the way the world has lost sight of motherhood deter you from your vocation. Don't let things of the world pull you away from your children, from your family, but dedicate your whole life to them, and you will sanctify yourself in this vocation and someday have that joy of seeing your children in heaven with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.